Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you, your democratic rights, and the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Today, I feel particularly ready to martyr myself on a worthy cause.
All right. You sound angry.
No, I'm not angry, Scott. I'm so far past angry, it's not even funny. I am so resolved, though, you know, like my entire life, my entire existence has been based on what we're about to discuss. So let's just get into it. You'll understand why.
All right. So a lady in Detroit basically had her daughter kidnapped by the state. A policeman came to her home, said, where's your child? And left with the child because she refused to medicate her daughter with psychiatric drugs and decided she was going to treat her daughter holistically. And I guess she made the mistake of thinking that she was in an open and free society, whereas the parent of her child, she could decide what she felt was best and right for the child. And instead, we had the Child Protective Services, the CPS, officials conspire with local law enforcement to threaten her, this is the mother, with deadly force and kidnap her daughter. Wow, this is the new healthcare police state in America. And if you refuse to inject your child with dangerous vaccines or refuse to medicate your child with mind-altering psychotropic drugs, you are considered an enemy of the state.
Well, heavy.
Pretty heavy.
Well, I want to tell you, when I was growing up, I grew up in Czechoslovakia. Back then, it was a communist country. It was a police state. You know, the state had the absolute power. There was, how do I best say it? Absolute power, you know.
They could do anything.
So what happens when you live in a society where your rights are written in a constitution, but the constitution is subverted by those who hold the power? So even though I had all kinds of rights on paper, I actually had no real rights because I knew of people who have disappeared. I knew of people who have gone to jail. I knew of people who have lost their jobs, you know, were downgraded. You know, people with university degrees were removed from their teaching positions and made to work in, jobs that involved no contact or no intellectual control over others. In fact, this is quite common knowledge. The president of the country, Václav Havel, who became the president after the quote-unquote Velvet Revolution in 1989, he was one such person. He was working as a heating technician, which in those days meant that he was shoveling coals into a big boiler.
Right.
Even though he was a internationally recognized author and playwright and so on. He was an intellectual. And of course, the power of the pen is much mightier than the sword. And he was dangerous for that reason. So anyway, living in that society, it gave me a particular sensitivity to knowing what that looks like and feels like.
Because the state would be saying one thing, but the actions would be saying something totally different.
Right, yeah. They would be saying things like, we are democracy and we live here for the people. You know, like the workmen's, what do they call it? The working man, you know, the laborer was the ruler of the society. But that was not the case. The Communist Party and its apparatus was and the nomenclature and all of that. That was who was in charge. And its arms, the secret police and the enforcement. And I remember one of my friends was approached by the secret police with a request to become an informant. And it's really difficult to not become an informant, because when they choose you, what do you do? How do you tell them no?
How do you say no? Yeah, that's right. How do you say no to that?
Yeah, it's an offer you cannot refuse kind of thing, you know? Anyway, I don't think he became an informant, but I think it was a very interesting dance and a sort of an exercise in subtle diplomacy to not spit in the face of the guy who's making you the offer you cannot refuse.
Right.
Anyway, so the reason I'm bringing it up is because I really know the language. I really understand the propaganda. I really have a sensitivity for when I am looking at an article that says one thing but means another. And the communism, as I knew it, was pretty much identical to fascism of the 30s that was the norm in Germany or Italy. And that same rule or organization became known as corporatism in later years. And by corporatism, I mean that the powerful corporation joins the state or uses the state as its proxy for wielding its power or for prosecuting its will. And that's what I see. I see that the financial sector is controlling the part of the political process that relates to its regulation. And we just saw this rape of the American taxpayer by the financial interests.
Right, with the bailout of Wall Street.
Yes, the bailout of Wall Street. How is it possible that the American homeowner still owes for his mortgage, but the company that wrote it and created that total nonsense doesn't? How come we collectively hold the bag of all of the defaulted mortgages, not the people who made it happen?
Right.
Or, in the pharmaceutical industry that we're mainly facing with in our business, how is it possible that the pharmaceutical industry controls the medium and the message? They are controlling the television. You see the preposterous ads. Visualize a lovely scene where a frolicking 35-year-old is saying, "Oh, I wish I would. In fact, I am now pain-free thanks to drug X." And then in a quieter voice, "When you take the drug X, you might face swelling of this, failure of that, or sometimes even death. But don't worry, talk to your doctor." And then we switch back to the cheerful scene and name the drug, and everything's fine, talk about it. As if it were ever possible to poison oneself towards health.
Right.
It reminds me of the famous line, "The beatings will continue until your attitude improves."
Right. Right. So what happened with Marianne is the state of Michigan kidnapped her daughter. Psychiatric doctors pushed dangerous medications onto this woman's daughter against her will. And then the Child Protective Service engaged in bait-and-switch tactics to lure parents into their centers where their children were taken away. And then she was interrogated by a woman who didn't say who she was. The police refused to produce any legal documentation justifying their attempt to take away Marianne's daughter. the civil rights movement, actually, she lives in Detroit, and they came in, they helped her, and, you know, because this was a big abuse of power. And then what happened, of course, is as she came, you know, out with this story and everything else, other mothers started contacting her from all over the country saying that their daughters were also kidnapped right off the street by Child Protective Services. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I recall going to school, going to elementary school, grade one, grade two, you know, all the way is just like, bye, Mom, here's, I got my lunch, I'm going to school, and leaving. And today,
walking down the street, yeah.
Walking down the street, and I could live, you know, two or three blocks away, it was no big deal, and there was no thinking about it at all. And now, when I go to, because I happen to date a woman who's got a 7-8-year-old daughter, and she drives her daughter to school and picks her up, and she lives far enough away that that's a reasonable thing. But I look and I see, and I noticed when I took my sons to school, there was mobs and mobs of parents there picking up their kids. And I'm sure that, you know, a number of them were, you know, far enough away, it was too far for the kids to walk, although I can remember walking miles. But I'm thinking, you know, that that's not the main reason. The main reason is that they want to make sure their kids make it home, right?
Yes, yes.
And obviously, you know, pedophiles and this and that is all kind of concerns that are coming up. But I'm wondering if at the back of everyone's mind, they're not more worried about the state.
Perhaps not. But I would say this, the word trust. You know, trust is a fantastic commodity. When you have high level of trust in a society, things work really smoothly. You know, in commerce, when you trust one another, you can write checks or you can make deals on a handshake. And that was, or has been, the hallmark of the American society, where we have been able to do deals on just a handshake.
Right.
That is totally unheard of in low-trust societies, like, say, China is an example of that. But, you know, all the African, you know, the wild countries out there, where the only way you can do a transaction is if you 100% expect that the opposing party or the other party in the transaction is trying to cheat you. And, in fact, if you don't protect yourself sufficiently and allow the other party to cheat you, that is not their fault, it's your fault. The shame is on the person that's been cheated, not on the person that cheated the other. Now, that puts a huge amount of friction into commerce. And in personal relationship, same story. It puts a huge amount of friction into the society. So we are now spending all kinds of money on time that we could have otherwise invested, you know, like we could have been building a better society, but instead we're having to send people to pick up our children. So
right.
So never mind the brake pads, tires, and gasoline that gets used up in getting from A to B doing it. It also is the time that this person that's picking the kids up could be engaged in doing something else. And also, I just saw an ad on television that was showing that 1 in 3 children cannot afford organized sports. You know, it's a very dramatic ad, and it's a solicitation for me to donate money to organized sports. If you do and give a dollar here, then it's going to allow this next child that cannot afford the organized sports to be sponsored with a bursary. And I was thinking, what about unorganized sports? How about some street hockey right on the front of the house?
Right.
Yeah. How about us boys heading out into the empty lot over there and doing some scrub, whatever they called it, you know?
Well, that's what we used to do, get out in front of this house and play street hockey or throw the ball around, ride our bikes.
Yeah, so I'm labeling this as the level of trust decreasing in the society and putting all this friction in. So, but this is so many sidebars here, it's not even funny. I mean, it's a rant about the decline of trust in the society, where instead of using the principle of what's right or what's good, the only measuring stick that's left is money. If it improves my bottom line, I'm obligated to do this on behalf of my corporation, even if it's sleazy, immoral, and detrimental. That's how the bankers and the employees of the pharmaceuticals, and I don't want to go into a rant naming every other industry that's every bit as corrupted as that, which they are, because the measuring stick has become just the bottom line, just the balance sheet, just the bank account. So I think we are really watching the decline of the great society, because the great society was based on low friction, granted to us by high level of trust. And now that we cannot trust people, or that we have to pretty much expect for them to take the money-based, bottom-line-based, low-resistance path instead of what's moral, or what's best for the collective, or what's best for all parties involved, we're now going to experience a decline in all aspects of our lives. We, in fact, have already experienced a lot of these declines as we're describing it all around us. And my standard saying is the road to hell is paved with the best of intentions. Yeah. I'm thinking of the Child Protection Services. I mean, that organization was probably started because there was a need to protect children against abuse. It's legitimate, you know. If you have a person who's insane or somehow, what's the word, abusive in some way, you should have the power to remove the innocent from a situation that's abusive. But then the definition of abusive starts shifting. You know, the abuse previously was perhaps physical or emotional abuse, right? So it was just simply extended into by not giving the care approved by the state, you are creating an abuse by proxy. You have no right to define or redefine what good parenting is.
Right, and we have you know, as a society, a standard of what we think parenting is, just like we have a standard of what we think safe driving is, and also legal behavior in terms of transactions.
Yes.
But then when you go and you sort of abuse those things, like the policeman who wants to go for the cliche of the policeman who wants to go for coffee with his police buddy, and so they turn on the sirens and they race through the town to get to the Starbucks.
Yeah.
Coffee, you know.
Or the third world, some country policeman who will shake you down, tell you that you have to pay a fine for speeding, regardless of whether you speeded, and all you need to do is just hand over your passport with a couple of $20 bills folded in it, just so he can pull the bills and hand you your passport back.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, how far away are we from that in this country? I don't know. It might not be so far, because the states are becoming broke, the cities are becoming broke, and even the federal government is rapidly becoming broke. I mean, a country that has a 15% deficit, 15% of its GDP deficit, is broke.
So let's get back to the, you grew up in a police state. Marianne's had her daughter taken away from her by a policeman in the state of Michigan. And we think it's really important that people be aware of these things, because we all go along our lives and we go to work, we do this, we do that, and the next thing you know, you start hearing about people, disappearing, getting a visit, and all of a sudden they're gone, and gee, they were a pretty nice neighbor, and what could they have done? And oh, they didn't go and get the vaccine. Oh, they didn't go get the flu vaccine. Oh, they didn't go and take these drugs that they were told that they were supposed to take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in my world, you would lose a job for not voting.
Not voting.
Yeah, if you failed to turn up for voting, or if you failed to turn up for the, it was essentially a volunteering, like it would be a one Sunday in May and one Sunday in June, we were all invited cordially to participate in a, community beautification volunteer Sunday. Mm. Or if you failed to show up on May 1st, it was Labor Day,
A May Day?
Yeah, the May Day, but it was the solidarity demonstration of all workers, where they just pick a date, and it was a parade. So the whole city would walk in their Sunday clothes down the main street, holding placards that says long labor and Communist Party the Savior.
They must have some... great system of figuring out whether you showed up or not.
Oh no, that was really easy. It was just you were supposed to be with your co-workers, so they had to do was look around and see that you were there.
Oh.
And in every group there was at least one, but perhaps two or three snitches.
Mm.
That you never knew who they were, although you could probably figure out because of their behavior, and the information filtered up and it ended up in your file. Scott did not participate in city beautification Sunday on June, and it's in your file. And then it comes time for review, and the promotion is denied or something like that.
Right.
I mean, it was not entirely unreasonable, right? You could expect consequences, but your behavior was shaped dramatically. Anyway, what I wanted to head to is this. Now that you are living in a police state, take it from me, you are living in a police state, even though the headline still says freedom and constitution and, all of those things that tell you that you're free. Those are not empty phrases. Those are just hollow headlines over top of an article whose content is very different. Anyway, you need to start changing your behavior. You need to no longer trust the people in authority because they no longer act on your behalf. They now act on the behalf of those who control those organizations. So as we have, there are articles you can find online. One of these lovely titles says, where do we have, The Shocking Truth of How Child Protective Services Family Treatment Centers Are Actually Funded by Pharmaceutical Companies. So when you follow the dollars, you will find that the profit dollars are funneled to the political organizations and the political system. So people who are running the political system rely on these re-election dollars that come to them from the corporate interest. So when it comes time to vote on particular legislation, a piece of regulatory something, I don't know what we call it, laws, rules, these things are now heavily influenced by who pays for the re-election of the person who's voting. And so the shift, it's gradual, it's not instant, but just like the proverbial frog in a pot of water. The water's getting warmer and warmer, and the frog is not noticing. So
yep.
I'm here.
We're here to tell you that the temperature is going up.
Oh, it's gone up. It's that the signs are all around us. I see them, and it makes me very sad. Very sad because I know them. So people are still mouthing the words. They're still acting as though they were free. And there are many, many brave people out there who are, you know, facing the system. It's not as bad as what it was where I grew up, where you couldn't even afford to say things. I remember the classic joke. There was this American and the Russian having a conversation, and I guess this would have been in the era of Kennedy and Khrushchev. The American says, for instance, I'm free to say that President Kennedy is a total idiot. And the Russian guy says, I'm also free. I can also say that President Kennedy is a total idiot. Of course, you know what the implication is there, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, this is... not helping us promote any of our products, is it?
No, in fact, it could be dangerous for future sales.
Yes, indeed. What I'm trying to say here is this. Large corporate interests are able to bend the message, are able to control the message and control the medium in which the message appears. My message doesn't even get into the mass media anymore. If I wanted to advertise on television, even if it was approved, it wouldn't take more than once or two insertions before the advertising manager gets a call that says, listen, we don't like this particular ad. I think you should not repeat it.
Yeah, put it on at 2 a.m.
Or something like that, because if you can't remove it, we'd be forced to pull our advertising support from your channel.
Actually, you know, this sort of thing happens in a very can happen in a very obvious way, like it did with Marianne and her daughter. It can also happen in a very subtle way. And I remember, I worked for 20 years for a grocery chain, right? And
mm-hmm.
I remember talking to the Kraft food salesman once.
Yes.
And we were looking at the peanut butter section, right?
Yes.
And naturally, the best spot on the shelves in an aisle is eye level. So
yes.
You know, it's really interesting looking because most of the time you'll see the big brands there and the more obscure mom-pop brands somewhere else. And he looked down to the bottom shelf and he said, see that peanut butter down there at the bottom? Yeah. He says, and it was like Martin's peanut butter, right? Like,
yeah.
You'd never heard of it. No one had ever heard of it, right? He says, you know, that's actually probably the best peanut butter on the market in terms of flavor and taste and product and ingredients and all that stuff. He says,
value, yeah?
Yeah. Really probably one of the best. And he says, nobody buys it anymore. And he says, it's really kind of funny. And he was just sort of telling me, because he had seen this happen. He says, you know, it used to be right here, and he's pointing to eye level, and because it was a good brand and everything else. But you know what? That company, no representation. They had no salespeople calling on the stores because they put everything into creating this magnificent product. And he says, so, you know, I'd come in, and I'd talk to the store manager, and I said, do you mind if I just make a little adjustment, you know, get this product and that product together because we've got the salted and the unsalted apart and they really should be together and a couple of things. And, of course, he would say yes. And then I would just adjust the shelves. And, of course, I moved him down a couple of shelves. And then I know my competitor, you know, some other brand of peanut butter, his salesman would come in, right? And he would say the same thing, you know, do you mind if I just make an adjustment? And gradually we moved this guy from the top position that he had down to the bottom, in every store across the country. And of course, people didn't see it. They didn't buy it. His sales dropped. He lost listings. Now he only have one size in the store instead of four. He's only got one type in the store instead of three. And, you know, he'll probably be out of business in a few years or bought by somebody. He's gone. And he just told me that story as a matter of fact. You know, he wasn't proud.
Correct.
He wasn't ashamed. He wasn't anything. It was just, you know, I'm doing my job, right? I'm getting the best positioning for my product. And my competitor did the same. And this guy, he wasn't even in the game, and he's kind of gone. And I think that's kind of what happens when we don't pay attention to what's going on in our society, right?
And when we consumers do not vote with our dollars for what is important, when we do the convenient thing instead of the important thing.
Yeah. Well, and somehow we've abdicated our responsibilities, right? Where we have gone to the doctor, and this is what the doctor says, so this is what we should do. And never bothering to look at alternatives, never bothering.
Yeah, who controls the doctor? Who tells him? Who feeds the information to him? Follow the dollar. In France, they used to say cherche la femme, which meant look for the woman. But now it should really be changed to follow the dollar.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, this is hopefully not a losing battle. Hopefully the society will wake up, individuals one at a time. All our listeners will possibly start acting consciously as opposed to automatically, will vote with their dollars for what's important as opposed to what's convenient, and tell their friends and loved ones that not all is right in how things are distributed, presented, advertised, and how the society is becoming controlled by the financial interests. And really, we have the power. We, the consumers, have the power. We can withdraw our dollars from the company. You have just made a fantastic example. If all the people that are listening to it would bother to bend down and look for the quality brand, they would stay in business. If the consumers bothered to bend down and read why the chlorella that we sell that's organic, made by somewhere, whatever, you know, is the right thing, and they need to buy it, that's what's going to strengthen the good guys and weaken those that don't deserve it.
Yeah, and it's all about education, becoming educated in, first of all, what you're putting into your body now versus what you could be putting into your body.
Mm-hmm.
And even what you're putting onto your body.
Right, all of that. Yeah, well, we go back to nutrition and toxins and absence of nutrients and presence of toxins and blah, blah, blah. You know, that whole circulation system that we have discussed so many times. Anyway, the responsibility is on the shoulders of every one of us individually. And when we act in our best interest without being lazy about it, we will change the society for the better.
There you go. So, Martin, if somebody wanted to get on to a little bit of alternative education and maybe get information that is not readily available to the doctors because of the way they get their information, what should they do?
Well, you can read at www.life-enthusiast.com. And particularly, there's a section on the website called About Us. The navigation link is way up at the top of the page. When you click on that, you will find a series of articles about the society, other than medical only. And it's good reading. And if you just want to debate me, call me at 1-866-543-3388. We can cross our lances over whether democracy is alive or dead. This is Martin and Scott for Life Enthusiast Co-op, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.